to have church. I don't want to have BAGO all over the world. I'm not interested in my name on every platform, every TV. I'm not interested. I'm telling you my heart. My greatest heart desire is that every one of us over here will live well and we follow God, and that the rest of our days we will see Him. That's my greatest nightmare. Let me tell you. My greatest nightmare is that one of us won't get what God has for us as we come to this service, as we come to this church. I heard of one advert years ago that summed up my idea. It's called, One Customer Bank. I don't know if I've seen the advert before. That is, they said, the CEO was called to the board and they said, how many customers do you have? He said, one customer. And the chairman, all of them at the edge of their chair, said, what do you mean by one customer? So he started, one customer. See, I don't see us as a crowd like this. I see us as one individual. And I want God to be in your life. I will not be at rest until each one of us arrive at that point. So as I pray, as I seek God, what bugs my mind is not, how will this ministry grow? How will we touch different lives? How will we go? That's not my assignment. Jesus has given me that assignment. But whoever He brings here, whoever my life touches, do they get better? Pastor, is that biblical? Chapter 1, Colossians, verse 27. Take a look. Give us an NLT. Take a look. It makes all the difference in the world. Verse 28 now. Give us verse 28 to make it faster. So we tell others about Christ. This is not helping me either. Give me in a NKJV. I want to pick a particular word there. Give me an NKJV so you can make it clearer. NKJV, thank you. Jesus' aim we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present the whole world, no. That we may present every man. Why are we trying to go abroad? Because the average person there, his life is better. Am I correct? It's not just the country. So, that makes me to think about, are you experiencing what we are talking here? You as a person. And I was looking for, how do you really get that? So I stumbled on this story in the Bible. Let's go down there. Matthew 22. We read verse 1. This describes where we are today. Can you give us an NLT to make it easier to read? Jesus also told them other parables. He said, let's read this parable together. Listen as I read it. The kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a king who prepared what? A great wedding feast for who? Everyone gave invitation to for this. When the banquet was ready, he sent a servant to notify those who were invited. But what happened? They all refused to come. Please don't rush. Let's take it one by one. He sent out invitation. Was he the one eating, or were they the ones going to eat? Who spent money to prepare the food? The king. Who should eat it? Not the king. Not his servant either. When the banquet was ready, next verse. So he sent other servants to tell them, the feast has been prepared. The bulls are fattened, calf, cattle have been killed, and everything is ready. Come to the banquet, come eat. Prophet said this morning, he's made provision for all that you need. The bulls, the fattened cattle, next verse. But the guests he had invited ignored them, went on their own way, one to his farm, another to his business. Legitimate things to do, am I right? They're not doing evil, though. They're just busy with life. And they never open up to this big invitation to enjoy what the king has provided. Let's keep reading. others even went back, seized his messengers, and insulted them and killed them. Come and eat, say what you Allah. Next verse. The king was furious, and he sent out his army to destroy the murderers and burn their town. Over what? A wajim. What will benefit them? Let's keep reading. And he said to his servant, the wedding feast is ready, and the guests are invited and worthy of the honor. This king is so concerned. What is he trying to do? To feed people. Let's keep reading. Now go out to the street corners and invite everyone you see. So he said, throw the thing open. Throw away the special cards. There's enough food. Go tell everyone on the street. Next verse. So the servant brought in everyone they could find, good and bad alike. Thank God for church. And the banquet hall was filled with guests. We are coming to church. We are all sitting down. Some people were invited, they never turn up. Of us came. But few, sometimes sitting in church, I say, boy, I'm really blessed here. Like last Wednesday, one young lady walked into my office. She was in NYC dressing. He said, Pastor, I just want to thank you. Thank you so much. I said, for what? He said, I came to this church. The word of God I'm hearing here has made my life so different. Oh, thank you. I said, you're welcome. I said, so what's happening now? He said, by next week, I'm leaving town. I said, oh, you have come to see me earlier now. He said, Pastor, I just want to thank God. My only concern is that when I leave and go back, will I find a church like this? I said, don't worry. God will take care of that. Then I said to her, where were you going before? And where did you come from? She said, from Imo State. And I said, the first time I ran this area, he said, yeah. I said, he told me church he was going before in Imo State. So when he came here, he would take the Okada across. And he said, I just told the Okada man, when I see that happen, God said, go to that church. You know, we don't fight people to come to church. We don't make a lot of programs in town. So he came in and said, from then on, he said, but Pastor, I'm sad. I'm leaving. I've been searching for you online. I said, what? You have been coming here, you never heard of online streaming, so I have to show her how to find it, things like that. See? If the story had ended there, it would have been lovely. I would have given myself a pass mark. I'm on try. But something happened next. Take a look. But when the king came in to meet the guests, the story changed here. He noticed a man who wasn't wearing the proper clothes for a wedding. Talo invited everybody. By the story. Let's follow the story now, but I'm going to give you the cultural context of it. And next verse. Friend, he asked, how is it that you are here without wedding clothes? The man had no reply. He came. Next verse. Then the king said to his aides, bind his hands and feet and throw him into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Next verse. For many are called, but few are chosen. You know, I love this story to that point where you want to invite Wakawa Jim. I want to invite God. They took me on the road and dragged me into the banquet hall. That's what we know as 21st century people reading. But I went digging down to the story. And they claim from the story that in those days, when the kings invite you for any ceremony, they don't only invite you, they do ashoebi. Not like we do as we be now, that you come and tell me, Pastor, I got you 10,000 naira. The king will get for everybody. Sometimes a king will tell you, I'm going to have a wedding for my son in 3 months' time. And he will bring the clothes for everybody, and you can take your size. And when you are coming for that wedding, you take that cloth and you wear it. So the cloth you are wearing to the wedding doesn't come from you. It comes from the king. So if you stumble into the hall and you're not wearing what the king wants you to wear, you can't participate. So I started asking myself, maybe I should not be more concerned too much about those who are outside. What about those who are inside and don't have wedding clothes? Peradventure, maybe that's why they have been coming. They're not getting so much. I told you about that testimony of that person, but some of you know people that are coming to this church, they're not getting anything, and they are becoming more trouble for people. They come to come and harass you for money. They are the ones who will start by your car, and they come to church. They are the ones who make life difficult. They talk anyhow to anybody. In fact, when you come to church, you don't want to sit beside them. Because last time, like prophet will say, I want to say Jesus. So I started asking myself, what's the wedding clothes? What is lacking? Then I began to see, let's go. Take your Bible first of all. Luke 15. If the king has invited you for wedding to come and eat, and you have come to church, do you have the proper wedding clothes to share and partake in this house, in the blessings of God? I have any problem? My chair, don't take it away. It's my accompaniment. Once in a while I sit. Maybe I want to sit down, you don't even know now. You don't know why? Sorry, forgive me. Let me tell you the reason why. I've been trying to sit down for years to talk and teach, but I've not gotten the grace yet. So that chair is my faith in action. I did it once, all through the service. One service, I did sit down all through. It was what I said, it was my best time of teaching. She told you, thank you. So keep believing with me that I will sit down. Jesus sat down to teach. Matthew 5. So this chair is my faith in action. Stay there. Are we there? Luke 15. I've told myself, almost set an alarm. Stand for 15 minutes. Sit down for 15 minutes. When I get over here, I will not remember till I finish the service. Okay, let's sit. Luke 15, are we there? Let's talk about this, having wedding garments. Look at verse 17 about the prodigal son. When he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. Let's keep reading. So I will arise and go to my father, and I'll say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. Let's keep reading. So he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. What did the boy say? And the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Next verse. Please follow now. Everybody follow now. Come and see. Come and see. But the father said to his servant, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. Next verse. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. So in my digging of learning the word of God, I came to see that, what is this robe? See, left home, renounced home, and still a son, but abandoned the family. And he had spent everything. And after, now what will he look like? After spending time with the pigs, what will he look like? His clothes will be saggy and soggy. Am I right? And here, the father said, my son, you are welcome. But he never let him stay in the house without clothes. They got that cloth off him that his life actions had made him to come to, and he puts the robe of a son on him. Please, Balume, let me take care of this. It will just distract our attention. Thank you. So, the robe. The father said, yes. That robe had been there all along until that boy came and said, I have sinned. My former lifestyle is taking me nowhere. Daddy, I'm coming back. Now, let me say this to you. You have been coming to this church. It's just part and parcel of religious life. You don't have the wedding garment. Somebody invited you here. You sat down. You seem to like the pastor. He's a radical. He looks funny. Doesn't look like pastor. You enjoy the service. That does not qualify you for the things we are discussing here. What will qualify you is to meet the chairman of the house, not the pastor. The one who organized this thing we are talking about. And to do that, you have to have a direct connect with him. Not just with pastor, who is nice on the stage here. And this AC room. You have to. See, anybody who is here, who is getting some testimony, they have a kind of a link with God. And God put his own robe. It's called the robe of righteousness. When you still see yourself, I'm okay, I'm looking for a nice church to go to, where my children can grow up, and then I can just meet some friends, and we can just connect. Thank you. You come here, attend the wedding, but you will eat the banquet feast. And the king will throw you out, though you are still inside. So you need to, on purpose, first of all, get the robe of righteousness. And that only happens by giving up on yourself. Say, I cannot take care of my life. I need someone to adequately take care of me. When that boy came back home, have you ever seen? If you never see that you are wrong, you are not the candidate for the blessing. Some of you are here, you don't see your life as anything wrong in it. You don't need the Savior. You just want some kind of a church you can go to and get some blessing and be helped by the pastor. And when your child is grown up, they can marry in church. And when you die, they can bury you. And say, Ile lolo tarara. So, have you put on the wedding garment? Solomon, look, Isaiah said, all our righteousnesses, they are like filthy rags. Have you really welcomed him? Do you know that the Lord is your Savior? Have you collected the clothes from the king? Or are you just coming your own clothes? Thinking, maybe one way or the other, and you can be in church for years, and you don't have any dealing with God. That can be a sorry. I'll be a failure. You know, I'm sorry. I'm nicer now. I have told people before to find another church that I cannot help them. You know why? I was trained as a doctor and we do referral. I refer people. I'm sorry. About anybody can help you. It's a senior consultant. I can help you. Like one young man recently, I told him, please. You are not, you can't cooperate. Well, everything I'm saying, you are not following along with me. Go somewhere else. He came to see me. Pastor, I don't have anywhere else. He said, fine, look, what I gave him some name to go and check. I mean, I can help you. I like to be honest because I just want to be coming. Injustice near now. Like one guy, I saw on the news, he wrote his pastor, I want all my tithe and offering back. I've been giving for 5 years. I just found out I was on the wrong route. Hallelujah. Number one, have you collected that robe? And how do you get that robe? Romans 10, verse 9. And verse 10. Take a look. Romans 10, verse 9 and 10. Somebody help me take care of this thing, messing up the... where are these guys? Your TV is messing up. Your TV. It's showing some... Okay, thank you. That if you confess with your mouth, not that this church is good. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe down deep in your heart, that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. You have to surrender your life to Jesus. You have to welcome him. He said, as many as received him, to them he gave the power or the robe to be called sons of God. You can go to church. My father gave birth to me in church. I grew up in church. But that won't make me who I am in God. Now look at next verse. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness. When I believe that Christ, God raised Christ from the dead, that Jesus is alive today. When I believe that in my heart, I'm given that robe of righteousness. And with my mouth, I need to confess, Jesus is my Lord. Not RFC is my church. Not RCCG is my church. Not TREM is my church. That is okay, but that won't save you and won't put the wedding garment on you. Does that make some sense? There are three types of these clothes I want to share with you, because if you notice normal life, we don't wear only one clothes. If you are like Yoruba people, you have buba, you have agbada on it, you have sokoto. So the basic one to start with is the robe of righteousness. Have you, and you know what? You can do that now. You can always acknowledge. You see that man, he made one mistake. That's my own interpretation now. He could have said, Emma, you know your majesty. Where is the clothes? I forgot them. Can you get me another one? It's not too late. I will run out and go and go wear it. He just stood there and was just looking. And there's nothing as criminal is to hear me now and say, okay, all right. That's a fine message, Pastor. You bless me. But have you actually embraced the Master? Have you opened up your heart to him? Or will we say, you don't qualify here? Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Now somebody said, Pastor, I don't get what you are saying. Are you saying I'm not born again? Wait. Are you saying I'm not born again? We're not talking like that. We are talking about, not just collect the clothes. Are you wearing it? Pastor, what do you mean? See that word? With the mouth, confession is made salvation. Many of us, maybe you got born again years ago. They made altar call and you came out and you say, I'm sorry for my sin. Lord Jesus, today I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. That doesn't make you saved. What makes you saved is your continual confession. And with the mouth, confession. Confession is not done one moment. When you confess something, you are saying it again and again. That's why if I ask you, I don't ask you, were you saved? What do I say? Are you saved? Are you maintaining the confession of Christ as your Lord and your Savior? Or you said, like one man, his wife took him to court. Why? He said, I want to divorce him. He said, he never said, I love you to me. And they asked the man, defend yourself. He said, I told her on the wedding day, if I change my mind, I will let her know. Olo Durabata. Let him come to marriage breakfast. On the 18th, you will learn better. So, just to say, Jesus, I believe you, and walk away is not enough. You must maintain a continual confession of Christ Jesus in the face of life. That one verse that usually bugs me in the Bible. Let's go to Matthew 10. Can I close with that? Choir, we have a song? All right. Let's go to Matthew 10. Take a look at this. I hope I'm correct. Is that where it is? I must find this verse. Yeah, I found it. Verse 32. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. Next verse. And whoever denies me before men, him I also deny for my Father who is in heaven. That is not strong here until you ask Pastor Dekunle in Niger. You know, it's not life and death here. In some of these places, when you mention Jesus, you are gone. But thank God, it's not happening here. Can we clap our hands for Jesus? We keep on praying that God give us religious freedom over here. So, do you confess? Oh, that will help you. For instance, let me give an example. You are in your office. They said, let's go and chase girls. What do you say? I mean, buying chase girls, so why? You say girls now. You are not confessing Christ. You are not confessing Christ. You are confessing your moral uprightness. But when you say, I'm a believer in Jesus, and he saved me, it's my law, and he won't let me do that. You are confessing Christ now. And in heaven, he will confess you. And he says, if you keep your mouth shut here, in heaven too, keep your mouth shut concerning you. And you, to back, keep short. I noticed something. When I continually make a bold confession that God will help me, Jesus is my Lord, and Jesus died for me, and he took my sickness and my diseases. Oh, in heaven, God is saying, I did that for him. But when I don't open my mouth and say that and declare before men, before, you know, some of us are introverted here. We don't talk. But I noticed that can also be your undoing. You have to speak up your faith. The Lord can be there for you. I can't forget this one as I ran up. I was in medical school. We were doing pathology. And the teacher, Dr. Modi, loved to torment Christians in the class. To torment us Christians. And one day, he started that tormenting one of the sisters in the fellowship that we were in this class together. She started talking anyhow. I said, Dr. Modi, leave her alone. Is she starting to follow God now? Believe in Jesus. She said, be careful. Just pass my exam. I said, I'll pass your exam. You are leading to teacher. He passed his exam. And I failed the in course. After I left that place, I said, wait. But you know what? I stood up for Jesus. I stood up for his name. Result came out, I passed. I didn't ask for the mark I got, but I passed. And if I didn't pass, I will not deny Jesus. Clap your hands for Jesus, somebody. You know, don't just go and be morally upright. It won't take you anywhere. You suffer in Nigeria. Take your stand with Jesus. What are you going to get if you follow Jesus? 100-fold. Praise God, somebody. But just be morally upright. Only have our lower country, you know, Jesus is going to help me. The Father God is on my side. Say that with me. Jesus is going to help me. The Father God is on my side. Tell yourself, in the name of Jesus, that miracle is mine. Praise God. In the name of Jesus. In the name that's above every name. Hallelujah. Can we one more time? Get up on your feet. Let's give Christ a standing ovation. Come on. Let's do that. Come on. Jesus is Lord. Come on. Clap your hands for Jesus. Do it right now. Praise God. Jesus, you are Lord over my life. You are King over my life. Jesus, I give you the glory. Hallelujah. 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 Tell someone beside you, I don't have another Lord. I don't have another Savior. I have no other city of refuge. It's the name of Jesus. The name of the Lord, a strong tower. The righteous running. Don't sing. Our time is gone. You know, just start singing from my heart. They don't want to join me. Okay, choir, come. Stavola, which is, thank you. We start singing, we'll get beyond this service. Thank you, come. Sit down. Let's give. Hallelujah. Praise God. Have I made some sense today? But before, I just sense I'm wrong here now. Before we do that, before we stop, before we sing, can you just close your eyes? If you are here, you have not done this before. You can do it right now. And you can say, Jesus, I accept you. I receive the robe of righteousness. Jesus, you died for me. You rose again. I publicly declare you are my master today. I am not the Lord of my own life. I declare you as my Lord. I'm saying it officially for myself to hear. Jesus, you are my Lord. You are my Savior. Thank you. Rest of us can also say that and say, Jesus, you've been my Lord, you are still my Lord, and you'll ever be my Lord. Amen. Before we sing, today's our pastor's offering. What's that? If you don't know it, don't worry. We give to our pastors today. So we're going to give our pastor's offering first. Then after that, we're going to come back and give our own offering. Praise God.